Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
All right, welcome back into The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. You know what? Baker Mayfield has actually turned out to be a pretty capable quarterback in the National Football League. Now, I think it was a scenario that Baker was probably a little bit too immature to handle everything that he was dealing with. He was certainly overdrafted. I think we have enough information now to know that Baker Mayfield is not a player who is worthy of being the number one overall pick, but it goes a lot in line, Rob, with the conversation that you and I were having last week about developing quarterbacks. Baker Mayfield still has some of the issues that he had in Cleveland. He is just going to turn the football over. He has 9 interceptions so far. He had 14 in his rookie year, had 21 one year with the Cleveland Browns, and also had another season in which he threw 13 interceptions. He is just a guy who is just going to throw interceptions and have questionable decisions. But I think you've seen that he is a fairly accurate quarterback. He's completing 71% of his passes. And the good of Baker has always been there. He threw 28 touchdown passes last year. He has 21 touchdown passes so far this season. When Tampa Bay was healthy and had a pretty good infrastructure around him, Baker was playing like a top 10 quarterback in the league. Now, he's not in that upper echelon. He's nowhere near the Mahomes or Josh Allen or Lamar, but that 8 to 10 range, that grouping of however you would have ranked him, I think Baker had himself firmly in that category. A lot of it is just infrastructure. Now, I know it's one of these weird things that we never want quarterbacks to have too many weapons, but they put Baker in a really good situation. You have a future Hall of Fame receiver, at least to some people, with Mike Evans. You got Chris Godwin, who would be a number one on a lot of teams in the league. Cade Otton, I think, has turned into a pretty capable tight end, is going to be their leading receiver today. They certainly don't have a whole lot else. And they have 3 decent rushing options on Tampa Bay. That was an offense that kind of had an abundance of things. Now, they are not the Chiefs, that they are not equipped to deal with the attrition of an NFL season. Baker Mayfield is not winning without Mike Evans and no Chris Godwin today. Who are his wide receivers? Who is he throwing the football to today? Trey Murphy? Like, who are you expecting Baker to go out there and cook with today? So I don't think that Tampa is healthy enough to come in here and really, really put a scare into Kansas City. But without that, Baker Mayfield, I think, has shown he's a good, capable quarterback in the league. If Baker had been an early second-round pick, every conversation we have about Baker over the course of the last 7 years is drastically different. But that's not the way that things played out. He was the number one overall pick. He certainly flamed out in Cleveland in a lot of ways. But I do think he's shown he's a good, capable NFL quarterback. He's going to play 12, 13 years in the league. And we're going to look back like, man, Baker was all right.
I think real quick, first things first, I'm not playing the breaking news sounder. The national nightmare is over. Colts and Jets have been flexed out of Sunday Night Football.
Thank you. So we needed that. Thank you, man. We needed that.
That news just came across. So the week the Chiefs play at Buffalo is no longer Colts and Jets to end the night. It is now Bengals at Chargers. So
that ain't that much better.
It
ain't that much better. It's a little bit better, not a whole lot better.
It's better enough.
No, now, that's fair. I'll give you that.
I mean, I've seen enough Jets football for a lifetime.
No, I didn't want to watch the Jets anymore. So I'm very, very happy that the Jets have been
Joe
moved.
Flacco after last night. I'm good with that one too.
I'm happy with throwing the Jets in red zone. For some reason, we only get them in standalone games. So if you're telling me that now Aaron Rodgers is part of the witching hour, that's great. But he didn't need to be on 720 on NBC. So thank you for that.
Now we're the national nightmare. Like I said, is over. Now back to Baker. Baker is a perfect example, and you said it there. Sometimes where you get drafted is an anchor around your feet. I understand why he was never the solution in Cleveland, but he's playing better football today than any of the quarterbacks they have in Cleveland. But when you get drafted 1-1 and you're the prodigal son, you're held to a higher standard. Trevor Lawrence, I think, is experiencing this in Jacksonville, although I think Baker is better than Trevor Lawrence.
Absolutely.
But Trevor Lawrence will get retread somewhere and he will look better, and we will probably have the same conversations. Wait, why'd it go so bad there? Bryce Young one day might have these same conversations. Wait, he went somewhere else and looked viable? Like, sometimes your draft position is not a, oh, wow, he's the guy moment. It's an anchor around your neck, and you struggle to live up to those expectations. Baker's a fine NFL quarterback. I just think it was never going to work in Cleveland and never work for him being 1-1, but he has shown this year he is more than capable of being a salty sixth seed in the NFC, which is basically what he was last year, although I know they won the division or a four seed. They were sub-500 still.
Yeah, looking at it, I mean, if you remove Caleb Williams just because he hasn't played a full season yet, I mean, these have been the last seven quarterbacks that have been selected number one overall. Baker Mayfield, Bryce Young, Trevor Lawrence, Joe Burrow, Kyler Murray, Jared Goff, and Jameis. So, yeah, you would certainly remove Burrow from this. I think he's been by far and away the best number one overall pick. You would probably put Goff number two and feel pretty good about it. He has had a good career.
He got traded, so it's a weird story, but you're right. I would have him at two, but I don't think Rams fans are saying he's two.
I also think he's an example. Now, it's a little bit different because I do think the Rams got the better quarterback out of the deal, but it did take Goff a little bit of time, and we saw one organization give up on Goff kind of early in his career, and he has sort of revitalized his career in Detroit, and now he has them rolling along, and they look like one of the better teams in the National Football League. Outside of that, Baker Mayfield is playing better than Trevor Lawrence. It's not really arguable to me. I think Baker is a little bit more consistent than what Kyler Murray has been, and Baker has certainly had a better NFL career than Jameis Winston. Baker turned out to be fine. A lot of the issues that I think we've seen with these quarterbacks of recent memory is they just get drafted too high. Now, I get it. Because you get the fifth-year option, because the clock starts a little bit earlier for these guys and they can get paid, I certainly get why you would spend the 11th overall pick to go get J.J. McCarthy, or how Daniel Jones gets selected sixth overall. Those guys don't really fall in the draft, and if it works, it is just such a huge, huge positive. But I think what we've seen, because so many of these quarterbacks are being selected in round one and being picked earlier than they should, man, if we kind of went back to where we used to draft these guys as high second round picks, I think this would change things. I mean, in today's NFL, Colin Kaepernick would be a first round pick. In today's NFL, Derek Carr would have been a top 10 pick. Andy Dalton would have been selected in round one. But these guys used to be high second round picks, and you gave them a little bit of time to sit behind certain starters and to develop. But now you just can't do that given the financial situation in the league. But yeah, Baker, I think, has matured in a lot of ways. For the first 2 years of his career, he was way too concerned with Colin Cowherd and going back and forth and arguing with every single media pundit. But once he has kind of quieted that noise and really locked in and found himself in a really good, viable situation, I think that Baker has proven that he is a pretty good and pretty capable NFL quarterback. That I really think that this Tampa team had a little bit of promise, but the injury bugs have just all but derailed this season. It's going to be really hard for Tampa Bay to get back in this thing with Chris Godwin out for the rest of the year with a broken ankle and really no timetable of when Mike Evans is coming back.
And the division, Atlanta seems to be rolling into form, which I think kills Tampa as much as anything. Like preseason, and really the first 4 weeks of the season, we thought, what is Atlanta? We didn't really know. right as Tampa Bay suffers a slew of injuries, Atlanta has come and started to look like the team we thought they could be. Kirk Cousins was really good yesterday against the Cowboys, but it's not really hard to be good against the Cowboys, but he looked good yesterday. In a weird way, the text line asked this question. Baker Mayfield, if we look like when he retires, are we going to look back at Baker Mayfield as a successful number one overall pick? Like when you do one of those 10 years from now redrafts, like
no.
It's 2028.
I'm going to say no.
But does that make him different than Jared Goff?
Yeah, I mean, I think that Goff is definitely better in Detroit than what I think Baker has been. Goff also had success in his first stop, and Baker didn't have that level of success in the first stop. That's where I think it changes just a little bit. I do have a quick question here, and we'll get back to specifically about the Chiefs here coming up in a bit. Classic or trash? Those throwback creamsicle Buccaneers uniforms. Are you on the Bucs unis, or are they a thumb up or a thumbs down? Where are you at on the Tampa Bay creamsicle unis?
All in. That should be their regular jersey.
I love them.
They're
great.
So good.
Why did they switch?
I don't know. I don't even know what their color scheme is now. Is that weird brown and red? No one wants that. Go back to the orange. Be unique. There is a team. I just can't think of it on the top of my head. Is there another team that's orange? Is their primary color in the NFL? Not that I can think of off the top of my head, other than the Browns, but they're called the Browns. Like, yeah, be the creamsicle team. Don't be the same as everyone else and wear red and nasty brown. Yuck, no.
I mean, I definitely understand why they eventually updated jerseys. Like, they got to keep selling you new jerseys, so they're going to keep updating jerseys and updating the look. Man, some of those 90s jerseys are incredible, though. The Chargers 90s, the Houston Oilers uniforms, the Broncos uniforms
Seattle.
Back in the 90s, Seattle's unis. A lot of those late 80s, early 90s uniforms, we didn't need to update. Seattle didn't need to update those unis, man. Keep wearing those uniforms. Tampa Bay didn't need new uniforms. They really didn't. The ones that they have, they're great. They're great. They're fantastic unis. Now, I don't hate the Warren Sapps. I don't hate the Rondé Barber jerseys. Those are fine, but it's something a little special about those creamsicle uniforms, man. I love them.
All in. So basically, every team that runs a throwback out there, I feel like they do a good job.
Yeah.
Like, I can't think of a team where I'm like, oh, what? I guess maybe Green Bay yesterday. I didn't love their throwbacks, but that's because
I hate when they wear those 1940 Acme Packers. Pittsburgh does that too with the Bumblebee uniforms, bro.
Bad.
I don't, you know, I don't want any uniforms that Red Grange possibly wore. I don't keep those. Any uniforms that Otto Graham competed in, we don't need to see those again. If Warren Moon didn't go against those unis, if Joe Montana didn't go against those unis or John Elway, we don't need them. That's as far back as we need to go when we were talking about throwback uniforms. All right, coming up on the other side, I am going to give you three player props today that I like. Rob is going to give you three player props that he likes, and we'll hopefully win you a little bit of money later on today. Keep it right here. So Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the health care you earned and deserve.
All right, welcome back into The Drive. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Monday. We are getting you ready for Monday Night Football. Again, we appreciate you making us a part of your day. All right, I am going to give you three player props that I really like for today. Rob is also going to give you a handful of player props that he really likes as well. We are using the FanDuel app for our numbers. Very happy that they're a sponsor of the show. I'm also going to give you a couple of the game specials that I would potentially take for today's game as well, that if you want to bet just a little bit of money to potentially hit it kind of decent if things actually go the way I think they could today. I do think we could see both teams really lean into the run game today. The Buccaneers are kind of in the same spot that Kansas City is. They just don't have a lot of available options. There's not a lot of guys on that Tampa Bay team that are very healthy. Everybody is on Cade Otton's side today, so I'm staying away from it. I'm fading him. If you're telling me that a team only has one passing option and Spags has to figure that person out, I will trust him to do that. They have basically done that all season, so I am on the opposite side of Cade Otton for today's game, but he is getting a lot of love in this game. All right, Rob, so let's do this. Let's go back and forth. I'll give a player prop. You give a player prop. Let's give people six different options. Throw these into your parlays. Take them as straight bets. Do whatever you want with them. Hit it, Rob. All right, for the first one, I am actually going to take a Buccaneers one to kick things off. I'm going to take over four Baker Mayfield in rushing yards. You can get the over under on Baker Mayfield right now at 15.5. I think that Baker's going to have to take off once or twice in this game to try to help get a first down because they don't have a whole lot of options. I think we know that sometimes you can run against the Kansas City Chiefs. He has hit this over in three of his last four games. So I'm going to take over 15.5 yards from Baker Mayfield. I think he has one or two scrambles today that he easily clears that number. I think the number should probably be a little closer to 20 than what it is. I think there's a little bit of wiggle room there. So give me over on Baker Mayfield, 15.5 rushing yards.
I like your heads up with rushing yards. I'm taking a different rush-based player prop. Give me the under on Bucky Irving yards. You know what the Chiefs defense does? They crush running backs.
His number's just not that high.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
They split carries with Rashad White. So
for sure.
He's not a true number one back. It's not like a Jordan Mason or a, you know, Zach Moss or, you know, name a player. It's a little split carry. So his usage is gonna be low. And the Chiefs defense stops the run incredibly well. I'll take the under on 33.5 rushing yards from Bucky Irving.
All right, I'm going to give you another one here. Now, this is a little bit of a unique bet, but you can find it right now on the FanDuel app. Excuse me. Kareem Hunt to have at least 5 rushing yards in all four quarters is +110. There's not a whole lot of plus money in this game. I think you can get one. You know that the usage is going to be there. There's no question about that. He touches the ball the third most in the NFL since he has entered the league. So you know he's going to get 3 or 4 opportunities on average a quarter, and he just has to get 5 yards per quarter, and you're going to give me plus money to do so. So my second bet, Baker Mayfield's going to the over on rush yards on 15.5. I'll also take Kareem Hunt to have at least 5 rushing yards in each of the four quarters. I'm going to take that at +110.
I'm going a little weird here too, but I like this bet. First quarter spread, I'm taking the Bucs +1.5. You know what I know is going to happen tonight, or I'm pretty calm is going to happen tonight? The first drive for the Bucs is going to be successful. Whatever it is about Spagnuolo and the Chiefs defense, they're great. After that first drive, if you took the first drive against the Chiefs, that team would go 17-0. They just have no problem. The Raiders march down the field. Every team has marched right down the field in that first drive. So you know what? I like the Bucks plus 1.5 on the first quarter line. If they score a touchdown and the Chiefs score a touchdown, guess what? The quarter comes to an expiration and it's plus 1.5. So that's my second of my six player props.
All right. The last one I'm going to take is also a Chiefs one. I'm going to take the over on Noah Gray yards. We kind of did this a little bit earlier. If you want to go Justin Watson over on yards, I would also understand it. I'm going to take Noah Gray just because I know the volume and the usage is going to be there for Noah Gray. You can get his over under at 23.5. He has also hit that in three of his last four games. A lot of this is just kind of finding tendency with players and who is trending in that direction. I think that Noah Gray is trending in the direction where I think he has somewhere between 25 and 35 receiving yards this year. You can take that up to the window and cash your winnings. So I'm going to take Noah Gray over under 23.5.
Last one I'm taking is one we talked about earlier on the show, and me and you differ on it, and that's fine. I'm taking over 43.5 for DeAndre Hopkins. DeAndre Hopkins had three targets, two catches for 29 yards in the Raiders game on a practice and a half, and then a road game. He has now had a full week plus, because of the Monday night game, of preparation to get ready for the Bucs, and the Bucs just gave up yards like you wouldn't believe last weekend to the Atlanta Falcons, who, on paper, the Chiefs offense should be more dynamic than the Falcons. Patrick Mahomes is better than Kirk Cousins. All I need basically is another catch and a target or two. I think Hopkins is going to get that, so over 43.5 for DeAndre Hopkins is my final bet for the day.
So those are our three player props a piece. If you want to go ahead and take them, Rob, let's quickly go through them one more time before we move on. I have over Baker Mayfield, over on rushing yards is 15.5. I'll take Kareem Hunt to have at least 5 rushing yards in every quarter of the game. You also can take that at 10 yards if you want to give yourself a little bit better odds. I'm also going to take Noah Gray. His over under right now is at 23.5. Those are my three player props.
My three are under 33.5 for Bucky Irving. I think the Chiefs defense shuts down the Bucks run game. I like the Bucs plus 1.5 as the first quarter spread. I think the first drive is going to be very important for the Bucs. And I like the over of 43.5 for the newest Chief, DeAndre Hopkins.
All right, those are our player props today. I also saw that there was one that you could take Kareem Hunt and Bucky Irving to each have 10-plus rushing yards in the four quarters. And there was actually really big odds on that. If you just want to throw $2 on there and maybe make $200, you can do that on there. I wouldn't take that because I'm with you, Rob. I just fade all running backs that go against the Chiefs. That's usually the right thing to do. There hasn't been a running back that has really had a good day against them. Derrick Henry has run over just about everybody so far this year. He did not do that to the Kansas City Chiefs. So if you just want one other additional option of what to do for this game, I think that is one to take. I do want to talk about this with you guys really quickly. 913-586-7965. Now, maybe I'm completely off on this, and that's why I give the number. You can tell me if I'm off or not. I think the Chiefs have really reached a point in terms of how we discuss them that the how doesn't really matter as much anymore. Like today, for example, we mentioned that we led the show with it. The most of the good teams in the league, they would usually punish Tampa Bay in this scenario. It's home. It's Monday Night Football. It's rainy. We are the better team, the more talented team. There are not many places across the board that you would take Tampa Bay in this matchup over Kansas City. Baltimore would blow Tampa Bay out in this scenario. Buffalo would blow them out. The Lions would blow them out in this scenario. Most of the teams that you deem to be Super Bowl contending teams would really, really dominate and flex their muscle. I don't really get that sense from the Chiefs. That's not to say, obviously, that they're not in that group of teams, because they clearly are, but this isn't even a game that you guys expect them to blow out Tampa Bay. Maybe we've all just got to that point. Patrick Mahomes could throw 2 interceptions today and continue having the most in the league. I don't think you guys really care that much. Travis Kelce could go out there and have 3 catches for 25 yards. I don't really think it matters that much. D-Hop cannot be a factor in today's game. Rob, I do think we've reached a point with the Chiefs that I don't know if people are necessarily concerned with much about the how or how they are playing, which is very, very unique to almost every other team in the National Football League. Now, this is certainly a product of your success and you being so good in the postseason and being able to turn it on late and win the games that really, really matter. But I don't really know many people that are expecting the Chiefs to play really well tonight or even care if they play well or not. It really has reached the point where it really is just what was your grade at the end of it. And the Chiefs at the end of every grade end up getting an A. Like, it is a very simple pass or fail. Did you win or lose? I'm not really sure if we've seen the Chiefs play really well all season. Like, what's the game that you point to and think, ah, that's what I think the A effort is for the Chiefs? But just every game at some point, the Chiefs just continue to remind you, yeah, we're better than everybody else. Like, we are going to figure out in this individual game whatever we need to do to win. And what you need to do in every game to win is drastically different. Sometimes that's Mahomes throwing for 300 yards. Sometimes that's running the ball 30 times. Sometimes that's you need to force two turnovers. Whatever it is, I feel very confident that today they will figure out that equation. I just don't think that Tampa Bay has enough firepower to knock out the Kansas City Chiefs. If they have Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, we could have that conversation. I'd be coming up here a little bit worried about Tampa Bay and the weapons that they have on the outside and how balanced that they are. But you have taken away their two biggest offensive producers, and now you're telling me that Bucky Irving, Rashad White, Cade Otton, and whoever they have at wide receiver are going to come in here and score on this team. I just don't really believe it. But I'm also not really convinced that the Chiefs are going to play extremely well today either. They don't do that very often. So it is kind of unique and weird, so to speak, that we have reached a very unique point with the Chiefs in these games that I don't really think you guys care as much. Like, there was a time where we used to be kind of critical on the Chiefs for them not going out and playing their A game or really kind of flexing their muscle in the regular season. It feels like fans have just gotten over that, and it really comes down to, well, how do you look in late December? How do you look in January? We don't really care about anything else.
I agree the average fan feels that way, and I understand why they do. It's simple pass-fail, but I think the how has to matter because I think the how is a matter of perception. And as long as the Chiefs keep winning, the perception is they're good, talk to me in January. And most of last season, it was they're good, talk to me in January, despite playing bad. But Carrington, I mean, right now, you could easily form a narrative the Chiefs are just getting by and they are, you know, flirting with danger, and this level of success with the way they play is not sustainable. We don't talk about it that way because they are winning and the how doesn't really matter to fans, but they keep winning one possession games. They keep losing the turnover differential. They keep doing the things that are really not supposed to be happening for a team that's of this ilk. We played the cut last week. Mike Renner was on CBS, and he said this is the most fraudulent undefeated team of all time. I don't agree with that, but I understand the logic. I feel like it's just a matter of perception. And in Kansas City, inside Chiefs Kingdom, under the red umbrella, it's they're 7-0, they won the Super Bowl back-to-back years, so shut up. All that matters is when it gets cold out post-Christmas, let's go get them. But I think fans maybe need to look at the how, because right now the how and the results sometimes aren't equaling one another. Like, they keep losing the turnover differential. Their quarterback has more picks than he has touchdowns. That just doesn't seem like a sustainable model.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, but again, I think that's a media conversation. I don't think fans care about that. Patrick Mahomes has 35 touchdown passes and 23 interceptions in his last 23 games. No one seems to care about that. Travis Kelce right now is 64th in the NFL in receiving yards and has as many touchdown catches as Wanya Morris and Bo Nix. No one seems to care a whole lot about any of those things. That I do think, and if you win, don't you get to set the rules? Like, think about it, Rob. Every dynasty that the NFL had before the New England Patriots, you kind of had to have dogs around your quarterback. And then we saw Tom Brady do it with Julian Edelman and Wes Welker and a bunch of other guys and Danny Woodhead and James White and all these other guys. And it sort of changed our perception about how you build a team in a post-salary cap kind of world. I'm with you. For every other team in the NFL, your quarterback can't have more interceptions and touchdowns. For every other team in the NFL, your running back can't average 3.7 yards per carry. Your number one pass catching option can't be averaging 8.8 yards per catch. But haven't we just seen enough to know with Kansas City, man, none of that stuff just matters. I don't know how, but I just know that tonight's game is going to be close. It's going to be unusually close. But for the Chiefs, it is usually close. The Chiefs will be down heading into the third quarter, and it just won't make any sense. They'll have a turnover that doesn't make any sense. They won't convert in the red zone, and you'll be sitting there frustrated. But you really won't get that mad about it because you know at some point over the final 30 minutes of the game, they will just figure out a way to win. I don't know how they'll figure out a way to win. They'll get an interception from some guy you've never heard of. Patrick Mahomes will make one or two incredible plays that only he can make. Kareem Hunt will just run the ball four times and tire out and wear out the defense. Kelce will have two back-to-back catches. We've seen it happen way too many times before, I think, for people to really, really get worried about it. The Chiefs are just elevated to a place that people are not. We talk about with the Royals, like riding the roller coaster. People don't ride the roller coaster anymore with the Chiefs. They don't. There is no more roller coaster anymore. They could win today, lose today. It does not change how any of us feel about the Chiefs. Not one bit if they lose today to Tampa Bay. And they're the only team in the NFL that gets that luxury. But you get that luxury because you've been winning all this time. We overreact when Baltimore loses. If the Chiefs lose today, it'll be any given Sunday. It's, it was going to happen. I mean, they won 17 games in a row. They can't win them all. That will be the perception if the Chiefs lose today.
How much of that lack of roller coaster that you're experiencing, and I agree with the two, is because the Chiefs are in a lull in their schedule. Like, in 2 weeks, they're playing the Bills. That's a playoff style of game on the road. The Bills are only two game back of the one seed. If they win, they're one game back with the tiebreaker in hand. Does the roller coaster restart when important games come up in the regular season? Because
I know what you're asking. I don't think the Chiefs have important regular season games anymore.
See, that's
at least to fans perception. Let's say in this scenario, let's say the Chiefs blow this and they end up being the two seed. Are Chiefs fans worried about going on the road to any of the teams that they're going to have to play? I just think the Chiefs have reached the point where we talk about the regular season like it matters. And the regular season does matter for 31 other teams. The regular season does not appear to matter for the Chiefs. Last year's Chiefs team in the second half of the season was incredibly average. They made the postseason and they figured something out. They just have a perception of they will figure it out. You check your account, you only got $7 in there, but somehow, man, you figured out a way to get your kids new school clothes. You figured out a way to get all the things you need for the month, and you will repeat that process and do it the exact. That's who the Chiefs have become. They have become the we will figure it out kind of team.
I think in a way, we're both saying the same thing. Last year broke fans then. Because last year the team was pretty middling. Like they were 10-7, but they won their last game, the who cares game against the Chargers with all the backups. So they finished 11-6. They were basically a 10-6 team last year. 10-6 teams are not supposed to just march to the Super Bowl and just take care of business on the road twice. And basically all the problems they had in the regular season, just they flipped a switch and they stopped. And that's great. They had a parade. They had hoisted a banner. They're back-to-back champs. But I wonder if last year the Chiefs being able to do that has broken fans a little bit. Because what the Chiefs did last year is not the norm. And if anything, it is a far outlier. If you play middling football over the course of regular season, you usually get beat in the postseason. If you have more turnover, if you have a negative turnover differential, you tend to get beat in the postseason. If your quarterback has more picks than touchdowns, you tend to get beat in the postseason. But those things didn't happen last year, the Chiefs. So I think last year, fans realize, oh, the Chiefs don't care about these games, so why should I? But I do think fans should look at some indicators and say, okay, is that a problem or is it just ho-hum, shut up, they're winning?
I want to play this audio for you guys because it's starting to seem, and maybe this has always been the case and I've just finally noticed it, that somebody in the media just spins the wheel and they land on a different team who's the challenger to the Chiefs. A couple of weeks ago, it was the Ravens. And the Ravens were the best team in the AFC when healthy, and you didn't want to go up against Derrick Henry, and you wanted nothing to do with Lamar Jackson, and this was a different Ravens team. And then they lost to the Raiders. And it's kind of hard to keep preaching that message after you lose to the Raiders, who just fired their offensive coordinator. They're bad. Like, the Raiders are not a good football team. Currently, they would pick in the top five. They're awful. So today, Rex Ryan spun the wheel and landed on a new team. He landed on a very familiar foe in Cincinnati.
I can tell you who Kansas City doesn't want to see, and that's Joe Burrow in Cincinnati. Mm. Why? They've done it. That team has done it. Joe Burrow, they don't flinch. They, for some reason, that Lou Anarumo, the defense coordinator for Cincinnati, always has a great plan against Kansas City. And Joe Burrow is the man when he goes in there. And so, to me, that's the one Kansas City doesn't want to see. I think they're going to see Baltimore. And to me, I think Baltimore is the best team. Their defense is not playing well, but they need to get it fixed. They got 9 more weeks. They got to get that defense fixed.
Sometimes I wonder if I'm watching a different NFL than everybody else is watching. I'm just, if the season ended today, the Bengals wouldn't even be in the playoffs. Why are we even talking about them in the same conversation as Kansas City? Kansas City's the one seed. They're undefeated. Why are we talking about non-playoff teams in the same vein as them? That's ridiculous. That's nonsense. They have a losing record. They lost to the Patriots. Why are we discussing Cincinnati? They're 4-5. They have the same record as the Colts. Is anybody worried about the Colts? The Ravens? What have the Ravens done this season to show us that they're the best team? Have I missed it? Because I watch a lot of NFL on Sunday, and I can't think of one single thing that the Ravens have done to show us that they're the best team in the AFC or in the NFL. Two of their losses are to two teams. They lost to the Raiders and the Browns, and they also lost to Kansas City. This is nonsense. This would be like if a team lost at Allen Fieldhouse, they lost to TCU, and they lost to USF, and I came on here thinking, man, you know, I think Iowa State's the best team in the conference. You guys would laugh at me and call me a hater and say I was crazy. That's what these people go on television and do every single week with the Chiefs. How can you lose to the Chiefs? The last two times you've played the Chiefs, you've lost. You also lost to a team, the Raiders, that have already fired their offensive coordinator, and you lost to Cleveland, and you still get to walk around saying you're the best? How are we indicating who's the best other than the results of the game? What other metric are we going into other than who wins and loses these games and determining who's the best? Feeling? You can't tell me defense wins championships and then in the same vein say that that team's defense not playing well, but they're the best. The Ravens are not winning anything with that defense. They're dead last in passing. They're dead last. Every team in the NFL is better at defending the pass than the Ravens, and they're the best? The Bengals, it's so ridiculous. I don't even understand why we keep you got the Bengals got to get over 500 before we talk about them. Get over 500 and then we can talk. You can't be 4-5 and you're talking to me about the AFC championship game. Nah, man, you can't be doing that. The Bengals next two games, they go on the road for Thursday night football and then they go on the road to play the Chargers. The Chargers, who not that bad. So I'm sure they'll lose those two games and we'll still have to worry about Cincinnati figuring things out, even though we're getting closer and closer to Halloween. Some of you put your Christmas things up and Cincinnati's still under 500. We only got one more segment left. Let's get back to talking about D-Hop and what his role could be tonight. Keep it right here, so Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5, The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Welcome back into The Drive. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here. I want to tell you guys how much I appreciate you. Thank you so much for listening. Rob, the vote for the pitch is out on who people think is the best sports talk host. We did not win. We lost to Bob Fesco and Fesco in the morning. I'm putting this solely on you. This is on you. You weren't out campaigning. You weren't handing out buttons or flyers, or you weren't trying to get the vote. We were going to bring that back to the home team, Rob. You didn't bring it back for the home team. I put you in charge of this. Where was my campaign? Where are my ad dollars? We didn't have a campaign. We didn't have a promo running so we could win.
I mean, we lost to a teammate. That's not too bad.
How can Bob Fesco's wins help us?
It's a great question. They don't hurt us. We're not harmed by it.
No, I was just messing with you, but
we're not harmed.
You stumped me, though.
No, great. Harm, no foul.
I'm happy for Bob. I'm happy we keep that on the team, man. First, 1, 2, and 3 were all people on 96.5 The Fan. So shout out to that. I was,
were
that
we
was,
at least two? We coming to two?
We did come in second. We did come in second behind to Bob. So shout out, you know. We're the most popular afternoon show.
There you go.
Yeah, that's what we're going to say. That's what we're running with. We're running with that.
I'm psyched that I'm the second most popular Robert at this station.
No, that's possible. Somebody says, C-Dot, it's because of your feelings on Dippin' Dots. Actually, that makes sense. That would make a lot of sense. Before we move forward, and maybe Spectre will even be mad at me for saying this, and honestly, that's fine. Are you guys excited? Are you guys happy that today is our last football game with political commercials? Oh, I'm so happy. Rob, we're almost out on the other side. There's not going to be any more after today. This is the last one. Monday Night Football is the last one. So soak it in. Soak in these last ads. Soak them in because they're going to be gone, baby. They're out of here after today. We don't have to watch them anymore. That's a win for you and for me. I'm thrilled about that news. I'm happy about that news. Today is a great sports day. Every team in the NBA plays tonight. We got the start of college basketball. We actually got some decent games in college basketball. KU really challenging itself in the non-con, and they play Howard today. Really challenging itself. They got Howard coming up. You guys play somebody on Friday. I don't. Are they?
There's a bigger game Friday.
Are they good? I'm just asking. Are they good?
Yes, they're better. They have a 35-year-old at shooting guard. So yeah.
Okay. I just didn't know. I was like, who do they play? I didn't know. You play Howard. Are you playing anybody that we need to keep an eye on for Friday? Is that a game that's worth paying attention to?
I mean, if you're flipping around, that a game is going to be
on. I don't think I'm going to be flipping around. I don't think I'm really going to be keeping up with it or watching it. I don't really know if that's some way to spend my free time. All right. Before we get out of here, let's do this. I'm picking the Chiefs. In a alternate universe, I think I was going to pick Tampa Bay today. If Tampa Bay was fully healthy and the Chiefs had the Broncos coming up on Sunday and they also had Buffalo right around the corner, I'd be using the T word. I'd be using trap. I think that Tampa Bay was good enough to catch the Chiefs in a trap 3 weeks ago. I don't think they're good enough to do that anymore. Not banged up the way that they are. Denny Matthews always says sometimes it's not who you play, but when you play them. And you are picking the absolute perfect time to play Tampa Bay. I don't know if Tampa Bay has enough bullets in the gun, so to speak, to get into a shootout with the Chiefs. I don't think they have enough. They don't have Mike Evans in this matchup. They don't have Chris Godwin in this matchup. Rob, who's their number one wide receiver? Like, who do we think that they are throwing passes to in this game? Because I don't really have a good answer outside of Cade Otton who they're throwing the football to. So I just don't think they have enough in this game. And I think the Chiefs are beating them. I think they're beating them. Like, I'm looking at their last game. Cade Otton had 9 catches for 81 yards. Rakeem Jarrett had 3 for 58. Bucky Irving had 7 for 14. I mean, their top two receivers were Rakeem Jarrett and Jalen McMillan. This defense ain't losing. The offense might have some problems today. The defense will not have problems with this offense if that's who they are trotting out there. So I'm fading him. And Jalen McMillan, I think he's a running back. So no thanks. We got the Chiefs winning today.
Not a Trey Palmer believer?
No, I'm not a... I'm not a Trey Palmer believer. No, I'm not. I'm not. All right. I had a lot of fun. Keep it right here. You do not have to turn the dial. Chiefs pregame is coming up directly after us. We'll be back tomorrow for our full 4 hours to break down Monday Night Football and also get you ready for Chiefs and Broncos. Take care of yourself. Enjoy a great sports night. Keep it right here on 96.5 The Fan.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, 3-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.